It says, "Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Lo Torah Tavlin." Because Rava says, "I created the Yetzahara, and obviously the Yetzahara is for our benefit." And Barasi Lo Torah Tavlin, but there has to be an antidote for the Yetzahara, and the antidote is Torah. And the question is that the only antidote? Is that the only thing that can protect us from the Yetzahara, or the many other ways? So Reb Chaim Stein, once Reb Chaim Stein this, Reb Chaim Stein said as follows. He said that, he's talking about if a person had a headache, so if you go into any store, convenience store, and get a medication, any type of aspirin, over-the-counter aspirin, it could be a Buffin, it could be a Tylenol-based, it could be an aspirin-based, it makes no difference. It could be any brand, it could be a generic brand. Now, if he has a migraine headache, then he has to have something more specific. And you don't have such an array of medication. Of course, if he has a more specific illness, so it becomes a more specific type of medication, usually it's prescribed medication. And if he has lo aleinu, a tumor, so then of course it could be maybe just one of the aspirin or medication for the head, and it has to be very measured, an exact dose. Since many years ago, many generations ago, so many ways of fighting the Yetzirah. It could be Chassidus, it could be Litvish, it could be part of a society, identity, it could be the Chevre Mishnayis, it could be a Chevre Tehillim, it could be Balei Chesed. There's so much one could do. But as we get down into Yeridus HaDeiris, to the last generation before Mashiach, it's Klal Yisrael suffering a brain tumor, so to say. And that's the Yetzirah in its strength. And there's only one tavlin. There's only one dosage at that point of one specific medication prescribed by the Ribbono Shalom, and that's Torah. And it's the only thing that will keep Klal Yisrael alive in the next generation. And then he took it a step further. Very interesting thing, he said. He says, I mean, we all experience this. We might as well just discuss it and say it straight out. We're in a generation of heavy internet usage across the world. You know, and usage and abusage, and nobody could escape it at this point, if you ask me. It's a reality of life. So the question is how to deal with it. And it threatens our morals. It threatens our time. It threatens our mind, and it threatens our lifestyles. And it's not just internet, it's everything around us, it's society around us. I mean, you can go on talking hours and hours and hours. How are you going to fight that? How are you going to fight that Yetzirah? Is it possible to fight? Are we doomed, or are our children doomed, or are our grandchildren doomed? And could we really produce real B'nai Torah that are separate from it while living in society? Is it possible? It has to be possible. It can't be that Ribbono Shel Olam puts us in a nisayon that we can't overcome. So how can we overcome that? Barasu lo Yetzirah, barasu lo Torah Tavlin. The only way is through Torah. So then the question comes, if that's the case, and it's only through Torah, does that mean a person is the only ones who are going to survive the Yetzirah? And all the Yetziraras around us, is the only ones who are going to survive that those who are learning day and night? The Legisa Boyom V'Laila, does that mean, and does it demand that one should be learning and cuddle the rest of his life and everyone else is lost? Maybe you have, maybe you're not. But what about for people who care, who won't? What happens to them? Still, Barosi Yetzirah, Barosi Lo Torah Tavlin. Torah becomes the Tavlin for everybody. How could that be? Is it a skula? You know, what's the magic of it? So I'd like to explain that, if you give me a few minutes. There's two ways of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're all aware of that. There's something called Avodah Me'ava, and there's Avodah Me'ira. Now, some people think it's the same service, it's the same way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yira means I have a certain fear. Yira is ha'onish. I have a fear of being punishment. I want schar. You know, that's one way, but it causes a serving of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then there's a serving of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, avodah me'ava, because I love a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the two different impetuses, two different causes, but to the same effect. Ultimately, I'm serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu full-heartedly. But again, two causes. Sometimes it's the fear, and sometimes it's the love. You know, in the secular world, it's the good cop, bad cop syndrome. It could be two ways. It could be, you know, unconditional love, grabbing somebody in this way, and sometimes threatening somebody this way. The two ways of an avaida, which hopefully comes to the same result. Comes the Maharal says that's not true. Maral says that avoid of Hashem Avar, and if you understand this well, you understand human relationships extremely well. And you can use it in all types of relationships. That there's avoid of Avar, and there's an avoid of Yira, and there are two types of avoid of Hashem, and they don't really even meet. And he says as follows, and listen carefully. Let's start with the easier one, the one that we normally deal with, and that's called Avodah Me'ira. Avodah Me'ira does not mean fear, he says. Avodah Me'ira means that a person has a cheshbon. A cheshbon means it's calculated, there's a reason for it. Every reason you'll ever have, when you deal with a reason is always exterior to the person, he writes. It's not internal. So I have an outside reason, let's say punishment, I don't want to be punished. That's an outside reason that causes me. If that's an outside reason that creates a cause, so my avoda is reactive. I'm afraid of punishment, I react. And therefore I won't do A, and I'll do B. Or, I want schar, doesn't have to be fear. I want to accumulate a lot of reward in Olam Haba, and even Olam Hazeh. I want to accumulate zuchusim. That's a calculation outside of me. I react to that, and therefore I do mitzvahs, and certain averes I don't do in order to, again, accumulate schar, merit, zuchusim. I want to talk with people. I want to be friendly with the person, you know, an employer-employee relationship. That's yira. That's not ava. It's a calculation. I'm reacting to something that I need. I want to have fun with a person. I want to go someplace with a person. My friendship there is not ava. That's calculation. It's reactive. Anything outside the person himself is always going to be a calculator to a certain extent, and it's always going to be there for a reaction. What's called ava? Ava means I like the person, or we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, for the person himself, let's talk about a human being, for the person himself. It makes no difference what type of clothing he wears, it makes no difference wealthy or poor, even makes no difference what they're going to do, what not going to do, how humorous, you know, it makes no difference the circle of friends, it makes no difference what I personally can gain. I can gain nothing. I like the person. Why? I like the person. He's a some connection to the person. Remember, echad with the person. I like the person. That's called ava. Ava is without any cheshbonus, Maral writes. Ava, by definition, is lo tluya v'dava. Eino tluya v'dava. It's not dependent upon anything exterior. Anything that's dependent on something outside, that's yira. Even though the Mishnah says there's an ava tluya v'dava, an ava she'ena tluya v'dava, an ava which is dependent upon something, an ava which is not dependent on something, in reality, an ava that's dependent upon something, a tluya v'dava, is really not ava, it's not love. That's called Yira. Yira means Cheshbon. That's why Yitzchok Avinu, who is the Ish Avoda, he was the Isha Yira, right? And he was Avoda Mi Yira, and it was all Din V'Cheshbon. Avram Avinu, who is the Amud HaChesed, Chesed means I do for others, I'm looking to do, I'm not reacting at all. I don't even know who I'm just, he sits outside for Knesset Archim. There's no even Archim over here, he wants to do good. That's Ava. That's proactive, not reactive. Ava, interesting, an Ava had cleaved over Maral writes, the case over there in Mishnah is a male and a female. Maral says every marriage to a certain extent is an Ava had cleaved over. There's calculations. What I gain, the minute I have the word gain, that's a calculation. There's a not full Ava in any marital relationship. The only place you can have amongst human beings, Ava She'ena Kliyavadova, that the Rambam writes, my Ra'al says the same thing, is really Chavrusis. Torah bonds a person in Nefesh. Like Yonis in Vishal, Nafsho Kshuva Nafsho. That's what the Maral writes over there. So Ava Tuli Bedova, Ava Shein Tuli Bedova. And Ava, which is not Tuli Bedova, that means real, we'll call it genuine, unconditional love, is always being this kind, will always be, it's permanent. It'll never be void, it'll never be bottom. And Ava had Tuli Bedova, which we just said is like a type of Avodah Meira, is a cheshbon, it's reactive, so then it's always conditional. If it's conditional to a certain extent, it can stop, and ultimately, probably, will stop. That's a Maral. Maral and Avos Hashem adds on to this, and this is an amazing thing. And we see it's so true. I'll give you the mashal, and I will say exactly how he says it. Maral says, let's say a person would be a POW, so you're captured in war, a prisoner of war. They're going to torture you. They want the state secrets. They're going to mutilate you. They're going to start tearing off limb by limb. Yeah? Are you going to give in or not? So you might think, Tukulsky might say, well, it depends on how strong a character I am, how much of a man I am. Yeah, that's all good before you're tortured. Yeah, once you start being tortured, you're not that same man anymore. Pain does pain. So, depends. If you were drafted to the army, you didn't really want to go. Or if you went because, let's say, in America, you wanted a college degree, or you needed money, or for any other reason, you wanted honor. You wanted something. Something exterior, something outside. So my going into the army, my entering the army, was reactive. Enough torture, you'll give in. Because it's a cheshbon. This day you're in the army to begin with was a cheshbon, was a calculation. So now I have to start recalculating. Is it worth it? Is it worth keeping state secrets and destroying my life? And you know what the answer is? It's not. It's really not. So you will give in. But let's say the reason why you enter the army, not because you're drafted, because you volunteer, because you believe in the mission, because you love your nation, and you want to fight for it, you want to fight, you care about it, that's your love. The more you're tortured, the stronger you'll become. Because it's all expression of the love. It's another opportunity of expressing your Ava for that nation. And you will not give in. It's an amazing thing. It's nothing to do with toughness. It's all about your approach. And that's with Avodas Hashem also. He says, what happens is that Oved Me'ava, this is true in all relationships, that if a person has a relationship that's purely Me'ava, there is nothing that's machbit, that's ma'akev. There are no obstacles to it. And every obstacle is another opportunity to express your Ava. But if it's a calculated, if it's Tolib Adavar, if it's Avodah Meira, so ultimately things become too difficult, there are too many obstacles, there are too many trials and tribulations, at that point you will give in at one point, and you'll recalculate and give in the relationship. That's why people go from job to job. You know, people go from friendship to friendship. If you have a good friend, you need a second friend, really? No. But if your friendship's based on a calculation, if it's clearly the double, it gets stale, and why not go on to another friend? And then another friend, and another friend. You know, when a person seeks friends, you know he doesn't really have friends. When a person has a real friend, he doesn't seek anything else. So, not only that, that's the Maral in Avos Hashem. Maral in Gur Arya, he says, is an interesting thing. Forget the fact that sometimes you have outside calculations, sometimes the relationship itself is a pain in the neck. You have that by friends also, right? That, you know, I love him dearly and everything else, but just not now. We have a little time, just not now, not again, you know, enough. Sometimes that destroys the relationship. That's if the relationship was built on Euro and calculation. And sometimes it's a pain in the neck, but doesn't destroy the relationship. You know, I have to learn how to deal with it. That's when it's a relationship based on Ava. The same thing by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Sometimes you feel the heaviness of Avedis Hashem. It is hard. You know, learning seems to be very hard. Davening can be hard. Coming out time to davening can be extremely hard. And staying to the end of davening can be very hard. It's very demanding. So if it's an Avedim Yira, Maral says, if my whole approach to Kodesh Baruch Hu is Chayv HaOinish, so sometimes I can stupidly make a wrong cheshbon and say it's not worth the schar, because you don't see the schar and say, all right, it's not worth it, and therefore not daven properly, or come late to daven and not do it properly, or not do mitzvahs properly, or sometimes even do an avera when the taiva level gets too hard. But if it's an avodah ava, it's the impetus, the push is ava, so then again, nothing becomes too hard by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's avodah, because the harder it is, the more I show my love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really what I want. That's what he says. And therefore, it becomes permanent, and he writes, he brings a ton of Veliyo, that the schar of Avodah Me'ava is kafel u'mechupeles. It's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It's just doubled and doubled and doubled and doubled. It's ein shir, it's infinite. Because just like the Ava is, so to say, infinite, it doesn't end, the schar that we get is infinite. It's not calculated. But the Avaida Meyira, where it's a calculated type of Avaida, making cheshbonos, and many of us make too many cheshbonos in relationships between friends and cheshbonos with our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the schar is also the cheshbon. The minute something is with the cheshbon, by definition, it's limited. And it's surely not the same. In marriage, you'd like to have a Yira Ava, Mr. Schwab. Ava. So with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'd like to also have that with Ava. It's much more permanent, much more solid, and you feel much better about it also, right? Probably. Okay. So that's what the Maharal writes. So let's shift back to the original question. So question is, how are you going to survive? How are we going to survive? How am I going to survive? How are my children going to survive? How are my grandchildren going to survive? Generations of internet. There's so many things. Not just the internet is one thing. You know, phones, it's all the same thing. It's all the media, the secular media. And they really, it's not our culture. What we see in the streets, what we're exposed to, the dress, everything else, to the tidal level, to the hardships of life. To, you know, to even some of the boredom of life. How are we going to survive it? If it's Yira, I'm not surviving it. I don't think anyone else is going to survive it. If it's Ava, not only will we survive it, we'll thrive upon it. And we use that as a basis for growing higher. And if I have a passion for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Torah, I have suddenly a disinterest. A real disinterest in everything else that's going around me. I'm oblivious to it. It doesn't move me. But that's only if I build an Ava. Now the question really is, how do you build Ava? Before I get to that, I just want to show you something. I have a chavrusa mindset as follows. It's such a great insight. Yeah, he says as follows. You have a mitzvah, v'ahavta z'shem al-kecha. And it's important to know, and this is probably extremely important to know if you want to have successful relationships in life. So the Torah demands from us to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the whole of our hearts. Not 99% of our heart, surely not 98% of our heart, with 100% of our heart. Of course, the Gemara says that's the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. That means all my inclinations, all my ways. Maral says it means the person also has, it's an interesting thing, a person has a tendency. Sometimes when you look at the Yetzer Hara, what do you think it is? Taiva, right? That's how we all were brought up. My taiva is. That's one level of Yetzer Hara. Maral says there's another level of Yetzer Hara that Adam is like a Karen. Is darker lahazik. A person also has this inclination in him that he just wants to be rebellious, wants to do damage, wants to create havoc, even if there's no gain from it, if there's no taiva. Just like a shor hamuad with a keren, is darko to go out and to just destroy things. Man has it in himself to be destructive, even self-destructive, without a taiva. I mean, if the Maharal, I see this all the time by people. I never understood it until I saw the Maharal. Because many times I would ask a bacha, like, what was your taiva to do it? Whatever you did wrong, what was your, like, what did you gain from it? And the answer is nothing. Absolutely nothing. But why you be rebellious? I'm not rebellious, I'm just felt like doing it. Felt like doing it for what reason? For no reason at all. Maharal says that's part of the Yetzer Hara, is to become destructive, like a shor hamuad. That's, even that I have to give back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ava, the Haftas HaShal Kera, b'chol levavcha, with all my Yetzaharis, b'chol nafshecha, we know even if he takes away my life, Maral adds on, it means with all my energy. You know, my life is my energy. He says, let's say sometimes it's just too hard to do. I have to exert too much effort. Getting up, moving, going, something. No, that's b'chol nafshecha. B'chol modechem is all my resources, all my money. And not only that, the Gemara says, b'chol midu midu shumaydei havei maydei. Any bad thing that happens, bad things happen to us at times. Any type of destruction, be for Klal Yisrael, a Holocaust, pogroms, what not. No, it's also, I have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the same love on the good, it has to be what I perceive as the bad. So that's whole, with my whole being, I have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's awesome. Comes to Maharal, I'll tell you what my Chavrusa says on this. Comes to Maharal, listen to this. Maharal says that there's a difference between Ava and Yira. Let's go back. We just said Yira is pro, Ava is proactive, Yira is reactive. He says nobody really wants to serve the Yira. Nobody wants to really react to certain fears. I'd rather not have the fear. I'm not looking for calculations. That's by definition reactive. It comes from outside and I have to react. He says, and this is probably the most important thing in human relationships also, is that a person has a natural need to love with his whole heart. It's proactive. It means it comes from the person himself. Ava starts with me, like chesed starts with me. Yira starts outside of me. So I have a need to love, and to love with my whole heart, and the person therefore also has a need to be loved. It's the most basic need. Forget all what the psychologist says of importance, time, or whatever. They're all off. The most basic need of a human being is to love wholeheartedly and to be loved wholeheartedly. And therefore, a person's chiyuv is to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu wholeheartedly. I feel that need. B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol modecha. Right. That's a Maharal. That's why it says b'chol levavcha only by Ava, not by Yira. So Yira is not b'chol lev. Nobody wants it. Nobody's looking for it. Nobody's yearning it. Nobody's pining it. Watch this. A human being, you can never love with your whole heart. Is that correct? You can't. First of all, if you gave your love to one person, you know, it's going to affect other people. And hopefully one day you'll have a spouse and many children. You can't say you love one of them with a whole heart, right? Because then where's the heart for everybody else? Second of all, by definition, all relationships, except for chavrusas maybe, but all relationships are avad pli v'davar, right? Which just says basically with a cheshbon, with a calculation. If that's the case, it's impossible to love with your whole heart. So therefore, this is what he says, therefore, you can never have a human relationship with your whole heart, and therefore will never satisfy your need to love. That's scary, right? Or it will never satisfy your need to be loved. So if I didn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now, and therefore it's all about human relationships, and I have an urge and I need, I might not even realize that, maybe I can't define it, to love, and therefore I give it to a human being, it will never be satisfied. Even if it's a spouse, even if it's a child. And I'll always have some urge to look someplace else. And that's depressing if you ask me. It'll never be. And then to the extent I'm finding someplace else, I'm losing over there. And even that will never fill it in. It just keeps cutting it down. I'm never able to fill it in. I just keep looking my whole life, not satisfied. It sounds like the entire world, by the way. The whole world's like that. The only way to satisfy that need, and I also never feel love fully. The only way to satisfy that need is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's Vahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nashcha b'chol. Once I have that, so I satisfy my need. Now all my other relationships become part of my Avodas Hashem. Obviously. My spouse is part of my Avodas Hashem. My children is part of my Avodas Hashem, is part of my Avodas Hashem. They become part of my infinite, my unconditional love. My full love, and I never have a need to look someplace else. That's called permanence. That's called healthy. And that's what the Torah wants. So it comes out a person that's a Ayiv Hashem b'chol liba b'chol nafsho b'chol ma'idai. At that point, all his human relationships are also on the highest of levels. A person who is not, so then all his human relationships are also faltering. And also never satisfied. It's something to think about. Just as an aside, I was once lectured for a group in the NCSY, teenagers, boys and girls, in Eastern Long Island. You know, and you know, all the time when they start asking questions, it's always the content. It's always to try to disprove Torah Judaism. Or to make it not so attractive. And of course I got the question, and it's a simple question, you know, one of the girls asked me, and there were quite a lot of people there, they said, we understand the women's role in the Jewish home is secondary. And of course I said, to the male? She said, no, to God. I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, who do you love better? Who do you love more? Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or your wife? Okay, and she, before I even answer, she says, and I know the answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means, of course, here they define it, which means that your primary relationship is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that your wife, the relationship with your wife is secondary. You know, suddenly it goes like it drops all the way down. It's secondary. And if it's secondary, it's meaningless. And the odds are you give up your life for Hashem. You wouldn't give up your life for your spouse. So it's meaningless. It's secondary. So we play a second role. I should have answered, and I could have answered, well, it's vice versa. And the male also is a secondary role. Because my wife would also give up, hopefully, her life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not for me. So it's two secondary roles. Okay. But I didn't go that way. So she said, so it's meaningless. Women play a secondary role. Normally, in illogical questions like that, they're usually illogical from the beginning. But but it's emotionally based. So therefore, whatever you answer is not going to really work, except I had a little siyata of the Shemaya, and I said as follows. You're 100% right, that my love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, and my wife's role is not as the same love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you get the gas, you know, from all the girls. And I said, but know it well, is that my love for my family is infinitely greater than the love that your husband will have for you and have for your family. So you want to say it's secondary to God, but it's greater than the relationship that you'll ever have. And you get that second round of guess. And what's the reason? Is because my family love, my affinity, is all based on my love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and my loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and my avodas ha'ava. And it says, and therefore it's with integrity, it's with full heart, full emotions, full life, and all my resources. I said, your husbands don't have that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's all a human relationship. It's so finite, so calculated, it's all based on you, the way you are today. I said, that's risky. That's not real. And it was a winning argument. But that's the same concept of Ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol modecha. And that's just not a demand. It's the only way to succeed in life. And how do you get that? How do you have a love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol modecha? The answer is, it's not that hard. There are really two ways. One way is the freest of questions, the next pasuk. So it says, and these words, and Sifri, Rashi brings the Sifri, these words, which Torah, doesn't mean the mitzvah, should be alavecha, limra Torah. When you learn, and you learn to your capacity, and each one's capacity is different. You know, some of your capacities might be greater than mine, some might be equal, some might be lower. Each one has his own capacity, it makes no difference, each one has his whole heart. When you learn to your capacity, you develop a wonderful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you get to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't love. Do you love me? Yes or no?
Yeah.
How? You don't know me. You can't love somebody that you don't know. I don't love you. You're a nice person. I don't know you. You know, I don't dislike you either. I have zero feelings. Okay? So, it's true. If anyone tell you otherwise, they're a liar. If they don't know you. Okay, so what happens is that the more you understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously, and the only way to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through Liman HaTorah, the more I'll develop a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more, ultimately, I'll have a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so now, even when I'm not learning, my avoid is an avoid of my ava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I start become a passionate Jew. And everything fits in. That's one way. Second way, and as Gemara says, to be misdavek, ul'dovka b'lavas Hashem Elokecha, ul'dovka b'ay. To attach oneself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gemara says, how could one attach himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an Eish Orchla. He consumes, you have to physically attach. So Gemara says, to be misdabek the Chachamim. And the person misdabek the Chachamim, attaches himself to Chachamim, is like misdabek the Shechina. The Rambam's Lashon, also Chazal, is that misdabek the Chachamim uvi Talmideyim. To attach yourselves, to be close, connected, very connected to Chachamim and the Talmideyim. And thereby, even when you don't have the Idea Satira, because the Gemara says that's even talking about Am Haaretz, and we're on Suvas Kafir Aleph, so even when you don't have the Idea Satira, at that point, you'll develop an Avos Hashem. When you have that Avos Hashem, so your whole life is ahead of you. So, for Bachrim, they're in a win-win situation, you have to understand, when you're in the Yeshiva. Because you're getting both things. You're getting all three things. You're having the opportunity to learn, to your capacity and to work upon that. And then, of course, you have the opportunity to misdabek the Chachomim, the Rebbeim, the Kohen Galit. And then you have the opportunity to misdabek the Talmideim. That's your friends. You know, your friends are learning. And when you have all three, that's a pretty good chazakah. When you have all three together, then you have that opportunity to develop an Avos Hashem. When you develop an Avos Hashem, all your other relationships are good. Somebody once asked me, so let's say I only develop a 90% Avos Hashem. It's not always easy to jump up to 100% or 80%. So you're 20% at risk. That's true. But I just advise that when you start to go out and you look for your ziva, the spouse, make sure she's not filling the gap, but she's part of the 80%. You know, you don't want her to fill that 20%, because at that point it will destroy the other 80%. You have to just make sure she's in sync with your Avos Hashem. If she's in sync with your Avos Hashem, you'll have the ultimate relationship in the world.